Good morning, everyone. I just have one real announcement before service today. We've completed our first week of hosting at Family Promise, and it was a wonderful experience. I have the feedback forms today that our guests filled out. Every guest said they were treated with respect. Volunteers were friendly. It was the best food they had ever eaten. Fun and homey. Have Bill come back. Volunteers are awesome. You are all good. There's nothing you need to be aware of. Everyone was awesome. Please don't change. Relaxing and enjoyable. The best church. The most like home. We already have a success story. Chi-Chi and Kimberly, who were one of our families, have a home they will be moving into January 1st. Yeah. So this was an amazing project and an amazing act of social justice work. It's one of the largest projects we've done since I've been here. So thank you all. How wonderful. Come here from rich heritages of liturgy and pomp. You come from burning legacies of angry gods and threats of hell. You come just as you are, and you are welcome. You come with exuberant and joyful hearts. You come bereft of the goodness of life, hesitant. You come just as you are, and you are welcome. You come in the bloom of youth, ready to explore new truths. You come ready to sit apart from your children or next to them. You come with gray in your hair and experience to share. You come just as you are, and you are welcome. You come to a place you've never known before was home. You come to a place that's been home for years, and you're welcome, just as you are. Join as members of one family in this beloved house. You come as a prayer. Come and let us worship here together. Please take just a moment to say hello or to introduce yourself to your neighbor. Thank you.
May this flame remind us of the love of those before and the hopes of those to come as we live out our prayer today. Please rise in body or spirit and join us in singing our first hymn, Let There Be Peace on Earth. The words are written in your order of service. Unitarian Universalist Church. At LCUUC, we work to surround this community with the spirit of love in everything we do. My name is Barb Adams, and I'm the worship associate for this morning's service. As a welcoming congregation, we hope that all visitors, friends, and members, wherever they are on life's journey, and whatever their backgrounds, will find a lasting home here. We're so grateful for all that come today. We have our bellies are full, we're sleep deprived, the rushing will soon stop. Please join us for refreshments and conversation in our social hall after the service, and while you're there, stop by the welcome table to find out more about LCUUC. Today's order of service includes announcements of upcoming church activities, and we look forward to everyone joining in. Like and follow Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church on Facebook in order to get ongoing information about activities, and check out our webpage at lcuuc.org to stay current on services and events. Tweeting, Googling, and social media use during the service are welcome, but please take a moment at this point in the service to silence all electronics that you may have here with you today. And again, welcome to all here this morning. We are so pleased that you have chosen to celebrate and worship with us.
Thank you.
One of the ways that we allow our lives to become a prayer for others is by contributing to local food pantries. We contribute financially, and we contribute by collecting non-perishable food items that we donate each month. If you brought food items to share, please bring them forward. Put them in the basket or ask a child to bring them forward. And I invite the children to stay up front and enjoy a story. It's a prayer that I can sit down here without falling over, so. Good morning. Did you guys have good holidays?
Yeah.
Good deal. The story we're going to read today is called The Weight of a Snowflake. How much do you guys think a snowflake weighs? What do you think? Not even a gram? Okay, it's pretty good. Very, very little. So one afternoon when it was cold and snowy and all the shadows were dark blue, a little chickadee bird perched out on a thin branch of a maple tree, and he was watching all the snow falling. And a bright red cardinal flew over and landed nearby. "What are you doing?" he said. The chickadee looked at him. "I'm watching snowflakes," the chickadee said. "What for?" "They're pretty, and each one's different." "A snowflake is a snowflake," the cardinal said, "and they're cold. I can't wait till spring. This winter stuff is for mammals. They've got fur." He lifted one foot and he tucked it under his feathers. "Us birds, we got scales and feathers. Winter's for the mammals." The chickadee nodded, but she didn't say yes and she didn't say no. And white snowflakes fell all around them, and the shadows got darker. But the cardinal didn't leave. He kind of hopped sideways and got closer to her. "What you doing now? How come you're still sitting here?" And the chickadee just looked at him. "I'm counting the snowflakes," she said. "Are you crazy? Why are you counting snowflakes?" "I was wondering," the chickadee said, "how many snowflakes this branch would hold." "Don't worry about it," the cardinal said. "Snowflakes don't weigh anything." "Not anything?" the chickadee said. "Well, almost nothing. Snowflakes weigh next to nothing, Fussy. They don't count for anything. They're all the same." "You know what, chickadee? You should really find a life, okay?" The chickadee nodded and kind of shook her head, but she didn't say yes and she didn't say no, and the cardinal looked at her, and then he flapped his wings and flew away, and the chickadee stayed where she was. And she kept counting the snowflakes as they fell. And the snow fell harder and harder, and the shadows got darker. And every one of the snowflakes was different. Some of them landed on the branch, some of them got on her. Each one weighed almost nothing. Y'all ever watch snow fall out on your patio or on the grass? You know how light? But as it got dark, the chickadee counted snowflake number 10,303. And her branch snapped from the weight of the snow. The chickadee fell with the branch, but only for a moment. She flapped her wings and flew up into the snowflakes, each one different, each one beautiful, each one counting in its own way, even though it was almost nothing. Every little one matters. Every person, every little bit of snow, it makes a difference. And the chickadee was smart enough to know that, even if the bright red cardinal wasn't. Thank you all for listening to my story. And I think Jack is our lantern bearer today. Barb's going to help you with the lantern. She's got the lantern on the back.
She will grab it. May the light and love of our chalice lead you today and every day. And if you all would follow our chalice bearer, and you would help me in singing the children out, the words to "For you shall go out" are written in your order of service. Walking on the beach when she stumbled on a genie's lamp. She picked it up and rubbed it, and lo and behold, the genie actually appeared, and the amazed woman asked, "Am I going to get 3 wishes? The genie said, no. Due to inflation, downsizing one thing and another, I can grant you 1 wish. So what's it going to be, lady? The woman didn't hesitate. She said, "I want peace in the Middle East. See this map? I want all these countries to stop fighting with each other and everyone else right now." The genie looked at the map and exclaimed, "Gadzooks, lady, these countries have been at war for thousands of years. I'm not that good. Make another wish." The woman thought for a minute and said, "Well, actually, I'm the minister at a UU church. Okay, I wish that the offertory would make $1,000 this Sunday." And the genie let out a long sigh and said, "Never mind, lady, let me see the freaking map again." The morning offering will now be given and received. For these gifts given and received for the life and the work of this community. This is the time in our service where we share our joys and our concerns together. Before the service, you can always light a candle in silence, but during the service, we speak our joys or our sadnesses aloud and we light candles. Would anyone who has a joy or concern to share please raise your hand? And an usher will bring you a microphone.
Good morning, I'm Barbara. I have a concern. My friend Lily, who's come to this church a couple of times, had to be admitted to the hospital. And I just want everybody to send prayers her way or blessings or whatever you do. Thank you.
I have a joy. This is Phil. And that's that my three kids are home and sharing the holidays with us. I have Jenna, Minnie, and Richie with us.
A I want to light a candle of concern for Isaac Krill, who is back in the hospital. So if anyone, if you do pray, please pray. And if not, carry good thoughts for the family. Dan and Julie just had their 10th anniversary yesterday, so it's rough right now. And we light our last candle today for all of those joys and all of those concerns that, while they may be deeply held, we have not named them here today.
First reading today is by American poet Ellen Bess. Her nonfiction books include I Never Told Anyone, Free Your Mind, and The Courage to Heal, which has sold over 1 million copies and has been translated into 12 languages. This is her poem, Pray for Peace. Pray to whoever you kneel down to. Jesus nailed to his wooden, a marble, or plastic cross, his suffering face bent to kiss you. Buddha, still under the bow tree in scorching heat. Adonai, Allah, raise your arms to Mary, that she may lay her palm on our brows. To Shekinah, Queen of Heaven and Earth, to Inanna in her stripped descent. Hawk or wolf, or the great whale, record keeper of time before, time now, time ahead, pray. Bow down to terriers and shepherds and Siamese cats, fields of artichokes and elegant strawberries. Pray to the bus driver who takes you to work. Pray on the bus. Pray for everyone riding that bus and for everyone riding buses all over the world. If you haven't been on a bus in a long time, climb the steps, drop some silver, and pray. Waiting in line for the movies, for the ATM, for your latte and croissant, offer your plea. Make your eating and drinking a supplication. Make your slicing of carrots a holy act, each translucent layer of the onion a deeper prayer. Make the brushing of your voice a prayer. Every strand its own voice, singing in the choir on your head. As you wash your face, the water slipping through your fingers, a prayer. Water, the softest thing on earth, gentleness that wears away rock. Making love, of course, is already a prayer. Skin and open mouths, worshiping that skin. The fragile case we are poured into. Each caress a season of peace. If you're hungry, pray. If you're tired, pray to Gandhi and Dorothy Day. Shakespeare, Sappho, Sojourner Truth. Pray to the angels and the ghost of your grandfather. When you walk to your car, to the mailbox, to the video store, let each step be a prayer that we all keep our legs, that we do not blow off anyone else's legs or crush their skulls. And if you are riding on a bicycle or a skateboard, in a wheelchair, each revolution of the wheels a prayer that as the earth revolves, we will do less harm, less harm, less harm. As you work typing with a new manicure, a tiny palm tree painted on one pearlescent nail, or delivering soda, or drawing good blood into rubber-capped files, writing on a blackboard with yellow chalk, twirling pizzas, pray for peace. With each breath in, take in the faith of those who have believed when belief seemed foolish, who persevered. With each breath out, cherish. Pull weeds for peace. Turn over in your sleep for peace. Feed the birds for peace. Each shiny seed that spills onto the earth, another second of peace. Wash your dishes. Call your mother. Drink wine. Shovel leaves or snow or trash from your sidewalk. Make a path. Fold a photo of a dead child around your Visa card. Gnaw your crust of prayer. Scoop your prayer water from the gutter. Mumble along like a crazy person, stumbling your prayer through the streets. Here ends the first reading.
Please join me in a silent moment of meditation or the spirit of prayer.
The following is an excerpt from Anne Lamott's book, Help, Thanks, Wow, Three Essential Prayers. It is all hopeless. Even for a crabby optimist like me, things couldn't be worse. Everywhere you turn, our lives and marriages and morale and government are falling to pieces. So many friends have broken children. The planet does not seem long for this world. Repent! Oh, wait, never mind, I meant help. What I wanted my whole life was relief from pressure, isolation, people's suffering, including my own, which was mainly mental, and entire political administrations. That is really all I want now. Besides dealing with standard issue family crisis, heartbreak, and misery, I feel that I can't stand one more death in my life. That's too bad, because as we speak, I have a cherished 13-year-old cat who is near death from lymphoma. I know I won't be able to live without her. This must sound relatively petty to those of you facing impending loss of people, careers, or retirement savings. But if you are madly in love with your pets, as any rational person is, you know what a loss it will be for both me and my 3-year-old grandson, Jax. My cat, Jeannie, has helped raise him, and it will be his first death. I told him that she was sick and that the angels were going to take her from us. I tried to make it sound like rather happy news. After all, vultures aren't coming for her, or snakes. But he wasn't having any of it. Angels are taking Jeannie away? Yes, because she is old and needs to go live in heaven now. He said, I'm mad at the angels. He's mad at death. I'm mad at death too. I've had it. I'm existentially sick to death of death, and I absolutely cannot stand that a couple of friends of mine may lose their children. I cannot stand that my sons' and grandsons' lives will hold so much isolation, strife, death, and common yet humiliating skin conditions. But as Kurt Vonnegut put it, welcome to the monkey house. This is a hard planet. We're a vulnerable species, and all I can do is pray. Help. When I pray, which I do many times a day, I pray for a lot of things. I ask for health and happiness for my friends and for their children. This is okay to do, to ask God to help them have a sense of peace and for them to feel the love of God. I pray for our leaders to act in common good, or at least the commonly slightly better. I pray that aid and comfort be rushed to people after catastrophes, natural and man-made. It is also okay to ask that my cat have an easy death. Some of my friends' kids are broken and their parents are living in that. And other friends' marriages are broken and every family I love has serious problems involving someone's fault or finances. But we can be big in prayer and trust that God won't mind if we pray about the cat and Jax's tender heart. Is God going to say, sorry, we don't have enough for the cat? I don't think so. I ask for help for this planet and for her poor and for the suffering people in my little galaxy. I know, even as I pray for help, that there will be tremendous compassion, mercy, generosity, companionship, and laughter from other people in the world and from friends, doctors, nurses, hospice people. I also know that life can be devastating, and it's still okay to be pissed off at God. Mercy, shmercy, I always wanted the kid to live. I can picture God saying, okay, hon, I'll be there when you're done with your list. Then he goes back to knitting new forests or helping some less pissy people until I hit rock bottom. And when I do, there may be hope. There's freedom in hitting bottom and seeing that you won't be able to save or rescue your daughter, her spouse, his parents, or your career. Relief in admitting that you've reached the place of great unknowing. This is where restoration can begin. Because when you're still in the state of trying to fix the unfixable, everything bad is engaged. The chatter of your mind, the tension of your physiology, all the trunks and wheel-ons you carry from the past. It's exhausting, crazy-making. Help. Help us walk through this. Help us come through. It is the first great prayer. Here ends second reading. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing number 86, Blessed Spirit of My Life.
Thank you.
Rankin said this in his poem, Singing in the Night. I love to pray, to go down deep into the silence. I love to strip myself of all the pride and the selfishness, the coldness of heart, to peel off thought after thought, passion after passion, until I reach the genuine depths of all. To remember how short a time ago I was nothing and how short a time again I will not be here. To dwell on all the joys, the ecstasies, all tender relations that give my life zest and meaning. To peek through a mystic window and look on the fabric of life, how still it breathes, how solemn its march, how profound its perspective. And to think how little I know, how very little, except the calm of the silence and the singing in the night. Prayer is the soul's intimacy with God, the ultimate kiss. As Unitarian Universalists, prayer may hold some challenges for us. There are multiple jokes that say our prayers sound something like this: Oh God, if there is a God. Huh, no. To whom it may concern. Amen. Enter. Send. Some of us come from other faith traditions. Some from traditions where prayer has left us confused or empty, let down, abandoned, wounded. Some of us have strong prayer beliefs and practices. We miss ecstatic or spirit-filled prayer, even prayer in tongues. So how do we talk about prayer together? One of the bigger issues we've had as a faith is that while we've worked hard to increase our diversity, for a long time that came to mean we swung hard towards humanism and atheism and away from Christian roots. We spent a lot of time working to include people of color and people who were disabled. We created welcoming congregations and we made it clear that if you were queer or trans, you were welcome here. But while we were doing this good work, we also worked to replace much of our religious language. We made change after change to heal old hurts and let people feel more welcome until we reached a point where in some churches a minister could not say the word God or refer to prayer at all. In trying to be authentic, we became so careful that many people couldn't talk about their beliefs. A few years ago, our then-president, Bill Sinkford, urged us to reclaim that language of reverence, to be unafraid to use religious language and metaphor if it carried the meaning we needed, if it made it possible for us to share together. We're almost at a point where this is happening. We get to talk about prayer, to reclaim it for ourselves. Let's start by talking about what it isn't. What it isn't is meditation, though it may be meditative. Meditation by nature is designed to center and clear the mind, to let a person find a peaceful and still place to review their actions and emotions, or just to find calm. There are wonderful meditation traditions, incredibly valuable, but they aren't prayer. Doesn't mean one is better or worse. There is no ranked higher, ranked lower. If prayer isn't meditation, then what is it? Prayer is a conversation with mystery. It's a conversation with an absolute, maybe a divine presence, maybe a higher form of human nature, maybe just your best self. Can be done in words or deeds or thought. It has no form. Our first source, the source from where we draw inspiration, is direct experience of transcending mystery and wonder. Prayer is the interior experience of that direct connection to mystery and wonder. And prayer has a different set of functions than meditation. In fact, it has several sets because there are different kinds of prayer. Four main kinds can be remembered by the acronym HADI. Stands for help, help, oops, thanks, and yay. Help prayers are the reason for the old saying that there's no atheists in foxholes. They happen when we speak to the divine in our hearts and ask for assistance, for ourselves or for someone else. And the funny thing is, they seem to have some effect. Dr. Larry Dorsey became interested in prayer as practice to aid healing because back in the 80s he read a study that indicated that patients who were prayed for recovered faster. He wrote a book, Prayer is Good Medicine, in 96. And Dorsey noted that since the 80s, when he first heard of this, they've done over 130 controlled laboratory studies that show that prayer, or prayer-like state of compassion, empathy, and love, creates healthful changes in many types of living things, from humans to bacteria. Although prayer didn't always cure, it somehow seemed beneficial. I was shocked to find out that a bunch of these studies were double-blind studies, where one group was prayed for and the other not. The group that was prayed for recovered faster and better. But the frightening part, the astounding part, was that the patients didn't know they were being prayed for, and neither did the doctors or nurses. Other experiments had patients prayed for by people in random locations around the country. The people only knew the name and diagnosis. Didn't make any difference. People got better. They've done studies since 96 that have shown that those praying also demonstrate decreased blood pressure, decreased heart rate, increased self-reported feelings of well-being. There's something to this. Did prayer really do anything? Nobody will ever know. You can't control for every element in these studies. But in every case where people knew that others cared enough to pray for them, they reported increased mental well-being and feelings of comfort. Didn't matter who they were, what their religion was. It was that someone cared. Knowing that somebody cares about you enough to ask the universe or God to help you out is pretty powerful. But what about when you're asking for yourself? How many times have you bitten off more than you can chew? How many times have you tried to handle something too big for you to do alone? To tough something out, to keep on going and win? The prayer for help is that moment when you admit in your soul that you cannot go this one alone. And when you open yourself up to being receptive to assistance. It doesn't matter if God sent a guy over to ask if you were lost, or if he came over because you looked confused and were trying to make eye contact. Your prayer was answered in the moment that you opened yourself up to the possibility of accepting help. Oops, prayers are pretty self-explanatory. Dear God, guess what I did now? Can you ever forgive me? For a humanist or an atheist, this may seem useless, but again, this is you speaking to your own version of the Absolute. Oops, prayers are one place where you can be completely honest with yourself, recognize the true magnitude of whatever you did, and where you can do one more thing. Now that you've admitted it, you can forgive yourself. Oops, I did it. Let it go. thanks prayers of the opposite, their recognition of how well you're doing. They're the moment that rather than pat yourself on the back, you recognize both your own achievements and all that you've been given, perhaps by the world, perhaps by God, perhaps by others. And you recognize all that has not been given to others. Yea, prayers, those moments when you go, wow, how amazing. The moment you see the sunset or the mountain, the moment your child is born, the moment that you bite a perfect peach. They underlie songs like, how great thou art, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all thine hands have made. Doesn't matter if you believe in a god or a goddess or a big bang. What matters is that moment when you stand in complete awe and appreciation. That is prayer. So when sacred texts call for us to pray without ceasing, to let our lives be a prayer, what does that mean? What does it have to do with praying for peace? All prayers share an awareness of the person praying in relation to something else. When I was a little kid, my younger sister Tracy loved monkeys. She loved monkeys and gorillas. Her favorite television show was some ridiculous piece about Spencer Tracy and Kong, where Tracy was a big gorilla. And Tracy, my sister, had an imaginary friend, a purple gorilla named Muncie. And you can imagine, as a 12-year-old, I thought this was the most ridiculous thing ever. I was not very sympathetic to my 10-year-old sister and her imaginary purple gorilla. She played games with him. She told stories about things he did. She even danced with him a few times. And she talked to him every day. And he talked back, not in ways that anyone else could hear. But when she had a problem she couldn't solve, sometimes Muncie would think up an answer. And when she needed a pat on the back, she would come let us know that Muncie had told her she'd done a great job, really. He came up with the ideas that she couldn't, and it was okay if they were wrong or people laughed. Something didn't look right because it was all Muncie the gorilla's fault. I don't know if that lousy purple gorilla really existed. I know he drove me nuts, and I know my sister got very angry when I claimed to have sold him to a local zoo. I also don't know if there's an invisible bearded man in the sky. I don't know if there's an invisible mother figure permeating nature. But I know that when we take a moment to externalize our need, to see ourselves in relation to something else, answers come, whether they come from a purple monkey, a god, a goddess, or your own mind. Humanist UU minister Reverend Roger Cowan wrote the following: in a desperate moment, I cried out for help and I was answered. Some years later, I'm still a humanist. I believe that religion is about this world and bringing justice and mercy and the power of love into here and now. And yet I'm a humanist who prays, who begins each morning with a devotional reading. Why do I do this? I need quiet time. I need to say thank you. I need humility. I pray because alone I am enough and not enough and too much. I express gratitude for the gift of aliveness. I assert my oneness with you and all humankind and all creation. And when I pray, I acknowledge that God is not me. Prayer reminds us that we are not gods, although we may be co-creators with the divine and we may be of divine origin. Prayer reminds us that we are in relationship to the world, to a moment in time with ourselves. Prayer is a calling for peace by its very nature. It's a lens, a focus, can be silly or serious or loving or angry. Screaming aloud at the pain of 9/11. Asking furiously why black and white people in America have such different lived experience. This too is prayer. O Lord, how can I thank you for the bounty on my table and the extras stuffed in my fridge when thousands of children die every day of starvation? For the comforts of my home where over 600,000 Americans are homeless. For my health where millions of people can't afford to see a doctor or fill their prescriptions. O Lord, how do I thank you? How do I thank you for the work that I have that pays the bills when so many are unemployed or don't earn a living wage? For a life free of calamities when earthquakes and floods, tsunamis, hurricanes and fires ravage entire populations. For the leisure time I spend reading for pleasure when nearly a billion people are unable to read. O Lord, how can I thank you? For a life of peace when bullets fly in inner cities and schools, when drones and landmines and missiles and sanctions stalk the lives of millions. For this country of ours so blessed and free, where soldiers are in our streets as police officers, where police officers are executed in their car, where soldiers who fought for it are killing themselves at a rate of 22 a day. For the wonders of nature, when half the people on this planet are stuck in cities. O Lord, how do I thank you? How do I thank you for my wife's love when half the marriages around me will fall apart? For my child's smile when more than one in four children will never ever live with their fathers? For my daughter's happiness when thousands of teenage girls are cutting themselves. O Lord, how do I thank you? O Lord, how do I thank you for the freedom to go where I want, say what I think, do what I like, when up to 27 million people work as slaves or are trafficked for sexual exploitation every year? For friends who love and love me, when every fifth person lives alone and has no more than one significant conversation every 6 months. For giving me faith and hope and a reason to live when 1 in 10 American adults reports they're depressed. O Lord, how can I thank you for my blessings unless I spend less on myself and give more to others? This I pray. I befriend the friendless. I help the helpless. I strengthen the weak. This I pray. I lift up the downcast. I give faith to the faithless. I pray for the hopeless. I thank the thankless. I defend the defenseless, embrace the rejected. I clothe the naked. I feed the hungry. O Lord, this is how I can thank you, for I have so much to thank you for. But one thing I ask, and one thing only. Help me to thank you. Help my prayer to be not with my lips and my heart, but with the life I live. Doesn't matter if you pray to God or a goddess or to Muncie the purple gorilla. Work for personal peace, for deep peace in the world. It comes from remaining in relation to whatever absolute allows you to express your need for help, your thanks for goodness, your sorrow at mistakes, and your joy in possibility. Live authentically. O Lord, I thank you, for I have so much to thank you for. But let me pray by the very life I live. May your life be a prayer. Amen.
Please rise in body or spirit and joining in singing Imagine by John Lennon. The words are written in your order of service.
Imagine a world of peace. Amen, and may it be so.